Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? I'm so stoked to be building from the three episodes that we have built here with Cultivate Advisors, talking about the entrepreneurial journey and how they're working with business owners from all over the construction industry to understand this journey and how to navigate it. This amazing company has helped countless entrepreneurs rise up and bring themselves to their business to new levels of growth that they would never thought possible. So now with the team Art of Construction, they're doing the same for you, tribe. So let's continue this journey and hear more personal stories from owners in the same position who have fought through the challenges we all face in this industry. And with the help of Cultivate, came out the other end a better entrepreneur and owner. So on this episode, we're going to be speaking with Jenna Bayer, who's the founder of Jenna Bayer Garden Design, and finding out more about her story, what her company does, and how Cultivate has helped them grow. So Jamie, welcome back. Tell me more about Cultivate and keep this baby going. And we can't wait to get in talk with Jenna, huh?
Yes, awesome. Thank you, Devin. So let's talk about Cultivate first, and then we're going to dive into Jenna's stories and great insights we have for us today. So Cultivate Advisors, we give business owners clarity in their business so that they can make great decisions. We're advisors. That's kind of a cross between a coach and a consultant. We're going to roll up our sleeves and work with them, work through cash flow projections, and help them in the business as a partner to help them out. And then also soundboarding and helping them propel their business forward. In essence, we're helping business owners grow and scale their business so that they can live the life that they want. And a large percentage of our businesses that we work with are in the trade industries. It's one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast with you, Devin. And what's really cool is that clients who have been with us for 12 months or longer on average are seeing a 65% increase in their revenue and an average of 108% increase in profit, which is very important, as we know. And because the phrase that I always say is revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. So we've got Jenna with us today. So I'd like to introduce her. She is our stage four entrepreneur, which is called the Systemizer. So the last couple podcasts we've talked about is with the hustler, the experimenter, and then also the visionary. Now we're ready to move into that stage four. And there's only five. So this is almost at the bitter end here. This is very exciting. So if you're listening and you're a systemizer, then you're bringing in a leadership team while identifying those guardrails to create scalability. You've got your systems down on how to make money. Okay, we're past the experimenter phase. Now it's really time to set up your guardrails so that you can scale with maybe even different locations. They could be in different cities, states, or maybe even in different countries. Today, Jen is going to talk about that she's in two different states in the U.S., and our systemizer we have today is Jenna Bayer. She's the principal designer and owner and founder of Jenna Bayer Garden Design. A little bit about Jenna is that the business is located in San Francisco and also in Portland. She's been in business for over 26 years and is an expert in garden design and sustainable gardening, horticulture science, organic practices, green building, and landscape construction management. Whew, that's a lot, Jenna. All right. Now, she started her career in mechanical engineering, smart cookie, earning her degree at Bradley University. And on discovering her passion for horticulture in the early 1990s, she studied at NCSU under Dr. J.C. Rolston and then at OSU in horticultural science. Her education and interests lead to a successful firm, including staff, providing services in landscape architecture, landscape construction management, and maintenance, and horticultural consulting. Jenna's attention to technical, aesthetic, and environmental details is constant. A balanced approach to design, sustainability, functionality, and a smart sense of construction and cost management, consistently bringing forth successful projects and experiences for her clients. Now, Let's get to know Jenna a little bit better. Devin, take it away.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, Jenna. So let's start off. What's your favorite beverage?
Depends on the time of day, but I would say my very favorite beverage is coffee with half and half.
And what after a hard day of landscape architecture?
Hendrix gin and tonic with two limes. Absolutely.
Ooh, Jamie. That's I think that's right up Jamie's alley.
Yeah. That's my favorite drink, Jenna. We're now best friends.
Great. I'll meet you at 5:30.
Done. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
You know, I love Italy. It's Italy to me is about natural beauty, liberty, and art.
Outstanding. Give us one story from your trips to Italy.
You know, I was looking for a particular piece of sculpture for a garden, and I was traveling on behalf of a client, and I just couldn't find it. I kept finding these female figures that had really large feet and big shoulders, and my client had a more diminutive, you know, scale to her. So finally, I talked to one sculptor in my broken Italian, and he said, oh, you must go to this place, which was about 4 hours away. I ended up on the side of a cliff, Cinque Terre, and finally found my way driving with a hired driver that was really just a friend. We got there. They had never seen us before, didn't know we were coming. It was a Sunday afternoon, walked in, sat down. He started playing the piano. His daughter was there, made us a meal, gave us some gorgeous Prosecco. We stayed for 5 or 6 hours, had a great time. I mean, that's what memories are made of. You know, it was fabulous.
You just painted a beautiful picture. That if you have a picture of that sculpture piece, we'd love to get that in the show notes, because I think you just teed up for a great show to talk through. That's what this is all about, right? Of taking your passions. And I just saw that whole thing come together. That was really cool. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction
here? Oh my goodness. I live in construction. I love construction. I love projects. So to take a break, usually it's reading. I'm usually reading 3 or 4 books at a time. I would say that's what I really love also. But gardening is just my vocation, my avocation. It's what gives me joy. So those two things.
Well, outstanding. Well, Jamie, to get to a systemizer, you got to take your passions and get there. And she just teed that up, right? With the putting all the passions together. So I'm stoked to learn about systemizing.
Awesome. Well, and we've got some questions for Jenna today. We're going to learn about some challenges and adventures she's been on this 26 years of business, building her leadership team. So everyone listening, get out your pens and paper and get ready, because Jenna's got some great insights that we're going to share with you today. Okay, Jenna, first question. So walk us through the first leadership team member you hired on, what was easy or amazing about it, and then the flip side of that is what was hard or frustrating about it?
Well, the first leadership team member that I hired, I didn't know I was hiring a leadership team member, to be frank. I was hiring someone who I thought was a good fit and had a lot of potential. And we were aligned on many things like work ethic, integrity, hardworking approach. You know, we were aligned on those things. I think the easy camaraderie that we had almost masked some of the problems, though. And the problems were that I did not have my routines set up so that someone else could do them. I had them set up so that I could do them. And me, thinking I'm a very clever person, thought, well, obviously, this will be easy for anyone. Guess what? It wasn't. So I think those were the things that were frustrating. And I've learned my lesson in a big way.
Sure. That's very common with business owners, because you're at step 21 and you're like, here it is. And they're like, what was step 1 to 20, Jenna? Like, I know you started step 21, but I don't know step 1 to 20, and kind of transferring that over. Okay, so then how did it come to be then you discovered, hey, you know what? This person should be part of my leadership team. What did that look like?
We have a small company. And, you know, we don't have 2,000 people or anything like that. We don't have tons of crews in the field. We are the inception point of a construction project usually. A residential client reaches out through referral. About 90% of our projects are through referral. And they want leadership. So getting the right people in the right seat for the leadership hat is a good thing, but having the routine of getting a business to work is hard. So having one-on-one regular meetings, and you know, Monday morning is really hard in a construction industry. Waiting till Friday, everybody's exhausted and they just want to be somewhere else. So Tuesday mornings became our day. I did learn that as my company grew, to get the team outside of me to meet on Monday afternoons to prepare for the Tuesday morning meeting. So that's a little trick that I did learn. We have a rolling list of things that need to be discussed. So there were those things. The one thing that we tripped up on is we kept going to projects. We kept started talking about our projects and our clients, and we actually needed to talk about each other and each other's needs. And what the routine was we were trying to get to make everybody's lives easier and ultimately serve our clients. And so we provide a very high touch, curated experience for our clients.
Oh, I love that. And two, with just setting up the right routines, like you said, Tuesday morning meetings, those work. Monday, we're prepping thing on Monday afternoon, and getting those routines set up that work for not just you, even though you don't, it needs to work for you, but everyone else on the team, and also just the nature of the work. Mm-hmm. So in thinking about that too, is any advice you would give to others that may be going through this process of developing their people during this time?
Well, I learned, I was lucky enough to take some coursework at Stanford Graduate School of Business and learned a lot there. Still learning every day, but the framework for learning, I use something I learned there, which is called PARC, which is people, architecture, routines, and culture. Our business is about people. It includes plants and all those other things, but it's really about the people. I view the people on my team as my customer, the contractors, my customer, the vendors, my customer, and our clients, our customer. I constantly have to be setting myself up to be of service to them. So that's an important thing. And the architecture goes to the org chart, how does that work? If you actually write it down, you'll probably see where the holes are, you know? I didn't realize I needed an expediter. I did, so I hired one. And the routines, which is the big thing that I do. And that's honestly how we keep the machine oiled. It's how we don't feel the speed bumps when we go over them. I focused really, really hard, started 5 years ago, focusing on cash flow, because that was the part that was stressing me out. I was like, I gotta figure this out. And it's not just about going up in your prices. It's about being smart about it and holding that money back. I decided to put about 20% of our net into learning, education for our team, innovation, and some people call it Genovation at my company. So I come up with all these ideas, we try them out, we see if they work. If they don't, we talk about why. And then the culture, and the culture is really the basis of everything. And trust, an environment where people feel that they can safely talk about anything with respect, you know, and so that's my framework, really.
Oh, that's beautiful. The PARC. So if everyone got that, it's PARC. So it's people, architecture, routines and culture. And when you're saying routines, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, those are systems. Would you say that those are one and the same, systems or routines, or routines different?
I think systems can be kind of an overarching approach. The routine is, how do I onboard a client? How do I onboard a vendor? The routine is, how do I make sure all the data is captured? When the person that's on the phone answering the phone, you know, gets a call, do they just write down a message? No, they actually ask the information so it can get put into Outlook or whatever system you're using. The routines are, when you get a check payment, what do you do with it? When there's a problem, what do you do? And we're currently in a situation where we're using KnowHow, which is a company that is actually helping us write protocols for these onboarding things. I would say that that's important now that nobody's in the paper age anymore. We're all digital. There's no tangible record. You know, it's sitting in the cloud and you can't just go look to the ledger book and find something. It's everything's in the cloud. So
yeah, everything's moving in the digital direction for sure. Mm-hmm. People are still using paper sometimes, like right now I've got notes. I like to write things, but the reality is that especially if you have multiple locations. Yeah. If you're in Oregon for the day and something's going on down in San Francisco, Mountain View, you need to have it in the cloud so that you can find it digitally. So, okay.
We are absolutely remote. The other thing I did was I set up a system to track our KPIs, and we had to come up with what the KPIs were. And then I ended up hiring someone to help me with that because it's hard and I love Excel spreadsheets and pivot charts, but to track those, I hired someone to help me. And that was a huge turning point. He's been immeasurably helpful.
Oh, that's awesome. And sometimes it takes us to slow down and be like, hey, you know what? I know how to do this, but I know there's someone else out there that can do such a great job. And then you can go do what you really enjoy in the business, whether it be selling or just running the business, being the CEO in the business, working on the business, not in the business. And that was my other question kind of leading into that is, how have you balanced creating those systems, those routines, to create the guardrails for scaling with your two locations, with trusting your people and also their skill without systems?
So, you know, someone taught me a few years ago that one of the reasons that we have been successful, and I need to say it out loud, is that my focus is on building a relationship with our clients and building a relationship with our team. And by building the trust, you know, with them, and it moves into loyalty, and then it moves into advocacy, and those things are very important.
The part I want to go back to the beginning is, you made a key comment, is that I had to recognize that the systems made sense to me, but it didn't make sense to others. And that's the key thing, that you built the routines around that to where it made sense to everybody. I think that's the key element, is that I raise my hand and say, we get lost in this system, to say, you mentioned Excel and pivot tables and this app and these things, but it all, you got to keep it simple, you know, and that's the part where I'm hearing back from you, to say everything goes back to your people, which your people are your internal and your external customers. What you do is architecture, but those routines help you enforce the culture. And it's the back to what Cultivate's been teaching us of these guardrails, and you better have those at this stage if you have a leadership team. Am I understanding all that right, Jamie?
Yes, absolutely. And Jenna, you can add in here.
Okay. So I think that one of the big things that I focused on is that if I can give people a way to be successful, if I can give them a path to be successful in their own work and their role on the team, then the company will be successful. And their teammates will trust them. They will hold themselves accountable to each other. They, you know, we've had not always the right person in the right seat, and sometimes it takes a little trial and error. But if we have people that are holding themselves accountable to each other, and working towards a strong culture, we can get there. Now, I have some issues with communicating with people. I move way too fast. And so I've had to slow it down. And I've had to be concise, precise, give positive feedback, because negative feedback almost never works. I've tried very hard to, you know, approach everyone with empathy, to have them know that I understand that this is hard, and that creating a routine allows them to do my three R's, which is they can repeat the activity, they can revise it, and that the activity, this routine, is resilient. Once they learn this, it can move a little bit, be shaped a little bit differently for another use, but that it's knowledge that's then baked in. So it's then in the DNA, you don't have to think about it anymore. Hey, this is how we do it. And, you know, we have this new technology. We're just looking at using Zapier, and we're not sure we're there yet, but it may allow us to move across platforms more quickly and more precisely. And if it works, that's great, but we're trying it. And everybody said, let's try it and we'll see what happens. And we'll vote on it and decide if it's good or not.
Just like anything, we're just trying stuff out, see if it works. There's no handbook. Dev and I have looked for years. There's no handbook on how to do this right.
Well, Cultivate's a good starting point, though. The five stages of entrepreneurship, you know?
Okay. All right. Yes, I agree. At that point.
I heard something that, like, one of the guidebooks, when you keep talking about people and culture, and I heard right person, right seat. I thought I heard something about your predictive index that Jamie did for our team, which blew us away. I think there may be a story around that you guys are going to talk about, right?
Okay, guys. So I've been being blown away. First of all, I find it just highly irregular that I can enjoy a survey. I hate them. This was put forward as a really useful tool. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know what? It took each of my people about 5 minutes to take this survey. And I was scared that it was going to come out with all this negative stuff. You don't do this. You need to work on this. You're a bad person. Opposite. Somehow, whoever crafted this has created a way to glean the pearls, the positive things out of it, and write them down. And while there are probably a bunch of negative things available, they really focus on that, and it's a constructive experience. I think the big takeaway from this was when I looked at the reports and I shared them with each of my team, and I also said, and if you want to share them with anybody else on the team, please go ahead. It's up to you, and I don't need to know about it. You can go ahead. And everybody shared, everybody, except one person.
Just to clarify, so this is you took the predictive index, and then you had everyone on your team take the predictive index, right? So you're saying they could share theirs, and also you were sharing yours with everyone.
Yes.
Just so the listeners can understand. Okay, go ahead. Continue. Right.
One gentleman did not want to share his because I think it was a little too, it was a little too wonderful, and he's a very modest person. So I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, we did share the feedback I got from my team about my report was that they were like, they weren't that nice to you, Jen. You're a much nicer person than they said. And I was like, well, that's a nice thing. But the upshot of it is what I learned is my ability to do many things all at the same time for an extended period of time is much greater than others on my team. By a double digit factor. And so when I blow into a room and I'm like, hey, great to see you. I need this and this. Here's my packages. Here's my folders. I've got my notes. Go ahead and get those things done. And over here, I need to talk to you about this. And you can imagine how it can go on. You know, we're running about $30 million worth of construction in a year for my teeny little team of 12. And, you know, that's not revenue through my company. We're consultants, but we got to pay attention to that $1 million swimming pool and all the things go along with it. meet with the geotechnical engineers, meet with all these people. So you have to be very detail oriented. So when I just blow into the room and I'm there for 20 minutes, everybody else is like, when is she leaving? Oh my God, this is too much. And I realized that with all the systems I put in place, all the routines, all the many benefits, we've built a really great company where people get good benefits, good holidays, good vacations, they get good pay. We have a great team. We like each other. We do fantastic work. I was screwing it up. I was not taking the time.
And are you saying the predictive index was a tool that really helped you with that?
It was like the lights came on.
So Jamie, just give us the 30-second commercial for those that, you know, we'll put links in the show notes of what the predictive index is, but in Cultivate's terms, what is this? Because she mentioned, I never thought I'd be excited about doing a survey, but can you tell us more about it?
Sure. In essence, it's a personality assessment. It takes anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes to complete. It has different areas of looking at what you innately attributes that you have about yourself. It also talks about how you think other people perceive you, and then also your worldview. In addition to what Jen is talking about the number of triple digits over maybe some further employees, we're talking about its mental stamina. So it gives you a number of how easily you can switch from this task to that task, and also that you don't need breaks throughout the day. Jenna could probably, her engine can run 12 hours straight. Other people, maybe 4 to 5 hours, and they need a lot of breaks in between. So it has a lot of information, and I've had a lot of people who go through it. It's 3 to 5 pages. They receive the report, and they say, the most common email I get is, that was really creepy. That's too close.
True.
Isn't it, Jenna? It's kind of creepy.
I got a lot of that. It was amazing. And then the thing of it is you end up with a report, and the report is just so useful because it gives you basically a scatter chart of which quadrant people are strongest in. And it made me realize that I have a lot of people that are very good at customer service. They're also very good technically. They are collaborators. They work together well. We also have two people that are guardians, which, you know, I call them guardians of the castle, my bookkeeper, my expediter, you know, and they make sure everything is taken care of. So there are those things, but I'm this outlier. I'm this innovator, you know, and again, it's the Genovator thing that they told me that I keep coming up with these ideas. You know, I keep coming up with them, and they can interrupt the process. And so I need to take that information and learn from it and help my people, you know, learn their own way, have their routines they're successful at, be happy.
Well, yeah, and one thing I'd added to the Productive Index is I've had the pleasure of working with Jamie with wearing my global Art of Construction hat, but also my local owning a window and door company with multiple locations and doing the different PI index, both through Art of Construction globally for people around the country, as well as my own company. And the third party story, two things I'd say is, number one is it really is 3 to 5 minutes and gives you a whole report. I'm just saying that from a third party story that it really is. You'd think it's BS when they say that, but that's real. But the other part I'd say is that this is where Cultivate has built something magical, because if Jamie doesn't explain it, it doesn't sink in like us that's just looking at this report. So she can take 20 minutes and go through that, and then everybody understands it. And that's something that Cultivate. So those are the tools that you're going to get with Cultivate when you blend the tools with the coach/consultant. That's where those tools really come together. So that's where I would add the predictive index there, Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Devin. And I think another point, Jenna, you were talking about earlier is about building trust and the three components of building trust, not only with your clients, which is so important, but also your internal team, because
huge.
Right. You can't run all these projects. You have to motivate them. And there's three components to trust. One is logic. They need to understand your logic. Mm-hmm. They need to know that you have empathy for their position, which you were talking about earlier, like this is not easy, you know, what they're doing. And you see them authentically who they are, truly. Mm-hmm. And having this PI index with all your team they now know, like Jenna knows me. You know, she can see me who I really am, and I'm wonderful, and I don't want to share with everyone, which I think is hilarious. And I'm just curious is, after you gave the predictive index to everyone and everyone was able to share back and forth, was there's a shift in you, right? That awareness. Was there a shift with the team members in their interactions with you or with each other?
I think that there was definitely a shift between each other. I think, you know, when there's like, even if it's something bad, there's an elephant in the room and nobody talks about it. You know, in this case, it was like, there's a party in the room. People were like, this is so you, this is amazing. How did they do that? And did you see that? They said that about you. And it's so true. And so, you know, for somebody to hear that feedback, that positive feedback, that one of their peers really agreed with it, it was huge. You know, and it, even for me, when they said, well, yeah, it says you're blunt, but you're not mean, you know, to me. And I was like, well, it didn't say I was mean. They were like, well, they could have been nicer, you know. And it wasn't, I thought it was perfectly nice. But, you know, they were being a little defensive about me, which was kind of nice, too. I think that the way people have been treating me is not so much differently. It's not so much about the PI. It's about the fact that I took action. And I have a bias towards action. And there are going to be people on your team that don't always have a bias towards action. I do. That's just how I'm built. I have a bias towards action. I need to have a measure, you know, against that. I need to not fly off. But, you know, a bias towards saying, you know what? This is something I can fix, and I'm going to look for a way to do it, and I move through it. So I started having one-to-one half-hour meetings with each team member every week. It's been during this time. It's difficult. Most of the meetings are Zoom. Some are on the phone. And I told them, I said, this is not about your work. This is about you. We can talk about anything. Mm. Anything. And we do. And sometimes we talk about work, and sometimes we talk about how we're feeling about interactions or a conversation with a client and how it was really good or it wasn't great, or, you know, how it made them feel. Looking for ways for them to be innovative about their career path, you know, things like that.
Yeah. It's spending time with them, letting them know that you care about them. You're slowing down your day to have one-on-one time with them. Mm-hmm. To connect with them, which mm-hmm. is motivating. And also it shows how caring you are. Even if you are blunt, Jenna, but
well,
caring, right?
I am authentic. I'm very authentic.
You're real. You're real, right? Yeah. So yeah, no, that's really beautiful. And this is all combined together. This explains why you've been so successful and that you are stage four. So is there anything else you want to share? Devin, any other questions we want to ask Jenna before she's moving on with her busy day today?
Yeah, more of a comment, and then just to close it out, is to say, Art of Construction Tribe, when you're listening to these guests coming in, we're definitely getting into that growth mindset. And when we're talking about that, you can definitely hear it from Jenna. There's no doubt she's a leader. But she's a lead by example person, you know, so she's understanding that. And that's the part that I love, you know, thanks for sharing, to, you know, really looking yourself in the mirror. And that's the part where I love to say, you know, you got to step out of the way and let the guardrails in, but you got to be within the guardrails too, you know, as the leader, when you start getting to these levels of scaling up your business, to say 12 people is a lot different than that first person you hired. Right, Jenna?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. Jenna, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you, Jenna,
thank you.
So much.
Jamie, absolute gold having Jenna come in and talk through as we build this up. And the predictive index, I'm so glad that came out in this conversation, because that's truly one of the many tools that Cultivate has put together that, you know, when Jenna talked about how amazing it was, I'm the same way, like how obvious it was, but yet how helpful it was. But truly, Jamie, like having you come in and explain it to us, multiple people that you've done it for, was, well, it's just a piece of paper, but once Jamie, we came to life, you know, and then we really got it going. So that's a testament of what the team at Cultivate has done. So how do people get a hold of Cultivate, and how do they, if they want to try this, get this tool or try any of these different things as we're going through these different five stages?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking, Devin. So anyone who's interested today, who is in Jenna's shoes or maybe wants to be in Jenna's shoes, it's www.cultivateadvisors.com/AOC/. So go ahead and jump on there. You can schedule an appointment, and we're offering 2 free hours of advising in there. We'll be giving the predictive index and taking a look at that and getting access to that super cool tool that we were talking about today.
So wait, you actually get that for free, the predictive index?
Mm-hmm. That's part of the deal.
Jenna, seriously, why would they not do that, right?
Oh, I don't understand, because it's changed. It's just changed my whole outlook. I'm actually thrilled with the information, and I've been able to take action, and it's made a difference. It's made a difference in our culture. And if our culture is doing well, and it is, that's going to reflect towards our clients, and our work is going to be better. So I couldn't be happier.
Awesome. All right. Cheers. Crush it out there, Art of Construction Tribe.